Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, John makes this statement, and I want you to listen real carefully to what he's saying. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Do not be surprised, my brethren, if the world hate you. And when John says, marvel not, my brethren, who are these people that he entitles brethren? Now, all men are brethren in the sense that we all came out of Adam. There's really no difference. All these issues of racism are so ridiculous because we're all the same. We all came from one blood. And all men are brethren in that sense. But all men are not brethren in the sense that John is speaking of. He's speaking of the children of God. He says in verse 1 of this same chapter, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, there are children of God, there are children of the devil. There are the righteous, there are the wicked. When John is speaking of the brethren, he's talking about those who are truly sons of God. And notice how he says after that, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is who these brethren are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now this is who these brethren are. The brethren are those who have the hope of being perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, because God has made them sons by grace. He says in verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Who are the brethren? Those for whom Christ has taken away their sins. That's what he did on Calvary's tree. And in him is no sin. If I'm in him, I have no sin. That's who these brethren are. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, if I abide in Christ, the scripture says, I sin not. If I don't abide in him, all I do is sin. Verse 7, let little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, these are who these brethren are, these people who have a righteousness that is equal to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're righteous just as he is righteous, because they've been given his righteousness. This is what the Bible calls justification. All of God's children are perfectly righteous in God's sight because their sin has been put away and they are righteous even as he is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's exactly what he did. Whosoever is born of God, this is who these brethren are. They have the same father. They were birthed by the same father. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Every believer is a child because they're born of God. They're a part of the brethren because they were adopted to be children. God chose them. They're brethren because they're united to Christ. Both he that sanctifieth and he who they're sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And they're brethren because they've been birthed by God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now what that's talking about is the new nature of the believer. Every believer, and an unbeliever only has one nature, his fallen nature, but every believer's been born again. And he's been given a new nature, a holy nature in the new birth that enables him to believe on Christ. In this, verse 10, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is who the brethren are, those who love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and he slew his brother. Why? Because he hated the sacrifice his brother brought. He said, this is not fair. He hated that because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't be surprised, my brethren, John says, that he's speaking to every Christian, every believer, the true brotherhood. Don't be amazed. Don't be surprised by the world hating you. As a matter of fact, you ought to expect it. Now, the next thing I want us to think about for a few moments is what is meant by the world when John says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, this word is used a whole lot in the Bible, and it means different things at different times, but what John means when he says, marvel not if the world hates you, he's talking about that world for which Christ refused to pray. You remember in John chapter 17, verse 9, in his great high priestly prayer when he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. The world John is speaking of is the world that we're commanded to not love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the world that James said, whosoever shall be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. The world is that which Satan is over. Let me read a verse of scripture from Luke chapter 4. This is during the Lord's temptation by the devil in the desert. And we read in verse 5 of Luke chapter 4, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the kingdoms, past, present, future, in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them over all of these kingdoms, for that is delivered unto me. Who delivered it to him? God did. Now, the devil has great power, but he is still God's devil on God's chain, doing God's will. He may not realize that, and he has power over all the kingdoms of the world. You think of all the unrest that's going on. North Korea, the devil. The United States, the devil's in charge there too. This is not a Christian nation, and it never has been a Christian nation. There's no such thing as a Christian nation. Satan is over all the kingdoms of this world, and he has the power of them. Now, I'm not afraid when I say that because I know that God has complete power over him. There's a big difference between very powerful and omnipotent. And God is omnipotent, and everything the devil does in working his schemes is only doing God's will for God's glory and accomplishing God's purposes. And the biggest proof of that is the cross. The devil thought he had defeated God. He thought he defeated Christ on the cross, and he didn't know that that's what crushed his own head. What he thought was his victory was his greatest defeat. And it's always that way for him. Yes, I'm afraid of the devil in the sense that I won't have anything to do with him. I'm like the angel that said, the Lord rebuke thee. I don't want to have anything to do with him, but I sure am happy that God is omnipotent in absolute control, and he controls the devil. And although the devil has this power over the world, God has power over him, and he is always going to have his will to be done. Now, when I say things like that, don't misunderstand me. I love my country. When I say the United States is not a Christian nation, I love my country, and by the grace of God, I'm willing to die for it if that's what it needs. I'm thankful for the privileges we have in our country, but there is no such thing as a Christian nation. So when we're speaking of the world, we're speaking of that which the Lord wouldn't pray for. Do you remember when the Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world? It's just not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered hence. But my kingdom is not from hence. Now, this is that world of which Paul said, the world by wisdom knew not God. This is the world of which it is said, all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil. In Colossians chapter 2, I think that this will give us some understanding of what is meant by the world. When John says, marvel not, my brethren, speaking of every believer, if the world hates you, that world that is controlled by Satan. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says to the church at Colossae, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Now that word rudiments means the ABCs, the foundations, the fundamental thinking of the world. And not after Christ. And here's what the world will be battling. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that God is found in the body of Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. And you are complete. Every believer, you are complete. You need nothing else. You are plumb full. You are perfectly accepted. You are altogether saved in him. And the world will always try to be against that message. Now John says, do not be surprised if the world hates you. Now the world has no love for the gospel. The world has no love for Jesus Christ. The world has no love for the true and the living God. May be religious, but the world hates the truth. The world always has been and always will be offended by the gospel. What about when Paul said in Galatians 5:11, he said, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if I yet preach works, why am I still being persecuted? If I did preach works, the offense of the gospel is ceased. Now, if you preach salvation by works, the world will love you. But if you preach salvation by the grace of God, the world will be offended and the world will disagree. Now, the gospel of Christ offends men's sense of personal righteousness because it says, we don't have any righteousness. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible addresses us as sinners, nothing more. The gospel offends men's pride by declaring salvation is altogether by grace. It has nothing to do with your works. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, who maketh thee to differ? Well, if you do differ, it's because God made you to differ. God made you to differ in eternal election when he chose you to be saved. Christ made you to differ when he died for your sins and put them away. God the Holy Spirit makes you to differ when he gives you the new birth and gives you a heart that was not there before. What do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. Now that offends men's pride because it says there's nothing we have to be proud about. The gospel offends men's wisdom by declaring salvation altogether by revelation, not by education. Not by you being smart enough to figure this out. We're totally dependent upon God to reveal himself to us. And the gospel offends men's sense of personal rights by saying we don't have any personal rights before God. He's God. Whatever he does is right. We're fallen creatures and we don't have any rights. If he passes us by to send us to hell, just and holy is his name. He's God. He's to be worshipped. We can't argue about our rights before him. And the gospel offends men's love of self because it calls upon us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason the world will hate you, John says, marvel not, my brethren. He's talking to believers. And believers are going to have the hatred of the world. The reason the world is going to hate you is not because of you. It's because of their hatred of the Lord. It's because of their hatred of the one whom you believe. It's because of their hatred of the one whom you worship. Now, I know a lot of religious people can garner the hatred of the world because of what jerks they are, how they act, how self-righteous and arrogant they are, how judgmental they are, how they look down their nose at people and so on. And that's going to generate hatred, but that's not the hatred the Lord's talking about. That's just what the world hates you because you're acting like a religious jerk. I don't want to be that person, but there's plenty of those people. And they garner the world's hatred because of the way they act, but that's not what the Lord's talking about. If you're a brother and you stand for the gospel, the world will hate you because of their hatred of your Lord and His way of saving. The world hates, always has, and always will hate the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. The world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you ask the average person, do you hate Jesus Christ? Oh, no, I love Jesus Christ. Then tell him who he is. I'm talking about the Christ who you're in his hands, and your eternal destiny is up to him. He can save you or he can pass you by. The one who salvation is him. He's in absolute control of everything and everybody. His death was such that everybody he died for must be saved. He's got grace that is invincible, that always saves, that won't take no for an answer. Is this the one you love, the one who's in absolute control, the one who's Lord, who's sovereign even over your will? You do what you do freely, no doubt, but he's in control of it all. Your eternal destiny is up to him. You have no control. He has all control. Do you love that Lord? Somebody says, no, I don't love that Lord. Well, I didn't expect that you did, but every believer will. All of the brethren will. Now, idolatry is the worship of a false god. It's where people make up a god that they feel comfortable with because they don't like God as he is, as he's revealed. Now, here's the commandment regarding making a false god, an idol. Verse 4 of Exodus 20, this is in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in earth beneath. All kind of religious relics, whatever they are, they're images. It's idolatry. It's bringing God down. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You see, there are those who hate God. They don't like God as he's revealed in his word. Therefore, they make a God they feel comfortable with. They make an idol. They make a new God because they hate the living God. Now, that's God's word, not mine. Let me read you some scriptures from Old and New Testament. Rise up, O Lord, let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. The Lord God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He repayeth them that hate him to their face. I'll render vengeance to my enemies and reward them that hate me. David, the man after God's own heart, said in Psalm 139, do not I hate them that hate thee. Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed upon the return of the Lord. He said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Now, was that lack of love on Paul's part? No. But he knew that the Lord was such that to not love him was the greatest of all crimes. when Paul was giving that long catalog of sins that every one of us are guilty of in Romans chapter 1 at the end of the first chapter. And remember at the beginning of the second, he says, Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for you that judge do the same things. What he's saying is we're all guilty of those very sins. And among those sins, he calls haters of God. That's what all men by nature are, haters of God. Now, men don't hate the God they can control, the God that they feel like they can manipulate. But men hate the God of the Bible, the God they cannot control. But you know what? You'll only worship a God that you can't control. If you can control him, if you can manipulate him, if you can get him to respond, you'll never worship him. You're over him. He's not over you. But the God that is absolutely sovereign, the natural man has no love for. As a matter of fact, he hates him. It is only the brethren who love him. Now, anyone who objects to what I'm saying and says, I just don't believe this, well, all I got to do is point to the cross. The one time men were allowed to do what they wanted to do with God, and the restraints were taken away, and they were allowed to act as they wanted to act, they nailed him to a tree. They had no love for him, but nothing but hatred. Now, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And here's the reason they'll hate you. Nobody will hate you if you don't say anything. But if you have his words, they hate his words. They hate what he said. And if you say it, they'll hate you for saying it. The Lord said, you shall be hated of all men for my sake to his disciples. But in the context of that, he said, it'll be given to you the same hour what you shall say. And when people hear what you say regarding the gospel, that is when they're going to hate you. Men will hate anyone who speaks the actual words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the preaching of the gospel this is a reference to. In John chapter 17, verse 14, the Lord says, the world hath hated them, talking about all of his people. The world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They're not of the world, even as I am not. Now, Christ is not of the world. He's the eternal Son of God. And every believer has been united to him eternally. They're not of the world. They're of him. And the world will always hate that which is of him. I want to read a verse of Scripture in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, where the Lord is speaking to some people who did not believe him. And he says in John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you. Now, these are people who didn't believe it. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. All the works, the good works, the religious works, they're all evil because they're done by evil men. And men will always hate to hear that particular message. Look in John chapter 3. I want to read some scriptures from beginning in verse 19 in John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They don't want to come to the light because the light exposes them to what they are. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 17, the Lord is speaking in this last discourse to his disciples, and he says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hate you. Now here the Lord gives as the reason of hatred his electing mercy. Let me read this again. because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you. Literally, I have elected you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, the world always hates election. They hate God's choice. They hate Christ's choice of his people. The response is always, that's not fair. How could it be fair for God to choose one and pass by another? That's not fair. We do not like this. And the Lord tells us plainly, because I've chosen you out of the world, the world's going to hate you because they hate me who did the choosing. Now, if I respond to what is election? Election is God's choice of his people before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The only people who are saved are the elect, those God chose to be saved. Now, that's what the Scripture teaches. And when somebody hears that, a natural man, he says, that's not fair. How could it be fair for God to choose one and pass by another? And whenever I say something like that, I believe I'm entitled to salvation. I believe that God owes me salvation, or that he owes all men salvation. You don't come into God's presence like that. You don't come arguing about whether or not he's fair. You know, when you do that, all of a sudden you become God's judge. And beloved, me and you are not fit to be God's judge. Whatever he does is right, whether we understand it or not. But men have always have and always will hate election. And the Lord tells them, the world will hate you because I chose you out of the world. Now I want to read one last scripture in Luke chapter 6 regarding this thing of the world's hatred. We read in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you. This is an indication of God's blessing. It means you're being faithful to telling the truth. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now, I don't want to be hated because of my ill conduct toward people, but I do want to be hated by the world because of what I say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know if people are not offended by my preaching. Now, once again, I don't want to offend people by my personality, by my difficult demeanor, but I want people to be offended by the gospel I preach, because I know if they're not, I'm not preaching the gospel. So in that sense, we want the world to hate us. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Knopper praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.